Did you all used to get the Costco trail mix with the M&Ms?
Not a
Yeah.
trail mix guy myself.
Oh.
Oh man. The M&M, if there's M&Ms in here, it would be way less healthy, but it would be great.
It'd be way better.
It'd be delicious. The peanut M&Ms? My God.
That's
I don't think I've had a trail mix with peanut M&Ms. Although I
I
guess there would be peanuts in the, so I guess, yeah,
Rob,
it
that's
kinda
fucking stupid. Why would you do that? Ew. Oh.
Oh no, here we go
It's
again. Already
already,
starting. How dare
already
you, peanut M&Ms? Ew.
it.
I feel like Colton's gonna weaponize anything I say to make it seem like we're just against Rob.
Welcome to Know Your Rights, a music podcast from two guys who know just enough about songwriting to start a podcast about.
Follow Rob
and Colton.
As each week we dive into a different band or songwriter and discuss what makes them great,
okay, or otherwise.
Music is law.
And we know our rights.
Can we welcome really quick? Because this is just, we got to get it out of the way.
Okay. Right. One, two.
Welcome! Hey, everybody.
Well done. Well done.
Maximiliano Sabate is with
I'm
us.
Back,
He's
baby.
back, Colton.
Back. I'm also back. I'm chewing. I'm finishing up the last of my
Yeah.
little pistachio.
I'm
Very
back for
happy to see one
revenge.
of you guys.
And what's your name?
My name is Rob.
Oh,
fair. That's
Nice to
cool.
meet you guys. So
Max, to meet you too.
Max, we're gonna include you, but I have to get this out of the way now. I have good news and bad news
Sports.
for the Know Your Rights
Sports.
listeners.
We are talking about Bohemian Rhapsody,
We
written by
will be,
Queen in the
yes.
Song Spotlight, but that will come.
Yes.
But
Yes.
yes.
So the good news is Colton and his family let me into their fantasy football league. That was really
Oh.
kind of them. I feel very embraced. The bad news
Congratulations.
is Colton and I are in a fantasy football league together, so sports talk is going nowhere. It will
This
be
is
here, everybody. Sorry.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah,
Yeah,
this is
it's
Max. I don't think you realize we reached a critical breaking point with a number of sports related things that have happened in the last like 24 hours that if you weren't here, I think we would just shelve Queen and
And
go,
just talk
okay,
about
there's
sports.
a
Just
lot of
yeah.
stuff to talk about.
I think you guys should start a separate podcast where you just talk about sports, but it's the same recording and you just
But don't you think, Max, that when we go to do
edit
it, if we knew we were going to talk about sports, I think we would both just start talking about music.
It's
Oh, that's
true.
an interesting. Okay.
We're
Yes.
bad people. We're bad at
I like
whatever
that
we sit
idea.
to do,
Yeah.
we do the
Your
opposite.
procrastination levels are so high that you willingly do the work of something else to not do the work of what you need
Exactly.
to do. And that's why My Friend Sam is the most
Period.
famous band of all time.
Exactly. Yes, yes, yes,
Oh,
yes,
we've
yes.
all been there. We've all been
Oh,
there.
yes. Oh, my God. Well, shoot. Hello, everybody. And Rob, you are winning still.
So what are we winning?
Numbers
What's
wise, yeah.
what's going on? I'm out of the loop on this. What are you
This is
talking?
currently, this is fantasy
Oh, fantasy,
football.
fantasy. You're winning
Yeah,
fantasy.
Rob
Okay.
is
Yeah. And
91.08 to 73.30. The projected points have me up, but that's
well,
always tricky.
and this
Yeah.
is football, I'm assuming.
This
This is
is
yeah, because the
football.
season's
Yes.
just started. Okay.
Just start, and Colton and I are literally going against each other to start. I don't know if you've ever played.
I played fantasy. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I just got back from Vegas with Justin Bell.
Good friend, good friend.
Rob definitely knows. Colton, do you know Justin? I don't know. Maybe.
The
Maybe
name
not. I don't
sounds
know.
familiar. Someone with the last name of Bell sounds familiar.
He's a really good friend of mine. Probably one of my best
Related
friends.
to Kristen.
Yeah, they're good. They're cousins, I think. But no, we were in Vegas, and while we were there, his fantasy draft was happening, and it was funny because we're just hanging out, and he's like, 5 o'clock, guys, my draft's gonna happen, so I'm gonna hang out, but I'm just gonna be on my phone." And he just did his draft the whole time while we're just hanging out at the
Man,
casino. And I was
that
like, "Yeah, man, I used to play fantasy with him. He got me into it back in the day, so I get it.
doing a
It's
draft like that is impressive because
I was a
that's
complete
they
yeah.
are.
I had both my monitors on. I had my reference sheet, and
Yeah.
it was
Well, Justin's a machine. That's all in his head. He's
now see.
so engrossed in sports.
Yes, he is.
he was telling me all the picks that I don't keep up anymore. But he's like, oh yeah, the first round pick. I mean, everyone wants this guy, but I want this guy because da 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 da. And I'm like, I don't know what the hell you're
Let's
talking
make
about.
this official. Justin, come on, know your fantasy, and
Oh, Justin will have
we'll
many
talk it
things to
out.
say. At least opening segment. It's a
Please.
perfect time for him.
He could just be a recurring opening segment guy where
Yeah,
he just talks sports and then he's
but
out.
like Colton said, Justin will start talking sports, and I'll be like, Colton, have you heard this new song? You know.
Yeah, I we can save this, by the way, for second segment, and I don't want to lose any steam for you, Rob, but what you had us, I'll tease it without giving the actual the who, what, and where, but
Okay.
you giving us that recommendation to listen to a cover of Bohemian Rhapsody, I skipped one of them just because life is too short for me,
I skipped one as well.
Yes.
I
I hope
went
you
to the
skipped the
one.
right one.
Yeah, oh, I went to
I
the
don't
one I
know.
was the most interested in that made you, Rob, the most upset. I don't think I like him anymore. Like,
Who?
that made me really dislike him.
That was Maynard brother. Like, he's
Oh,
brother now. Like,
it
he
all makes
lost.
sense now.
He
Jesus
literally
Christ.
dropped from freaking like
It all makes sense.
somebody I idolized to where now is just like, hey, contemporary,
Let
what
me
are you doing?
out myself really quickly here. When you said Panic at the Disco and Pussifier have a cover, and then your text after that was like, ah, Maynard, come on. I forgot that Maynard was in Pussifier, so I was like, what's this random tangent about Maynard all of a sudden? And now I'm
Yes.
remembering, I'm like, oh, that's right. He's in Pussifier, and that's where that came from. I did not listen to that. I listened to the Panic.
Oh, okay. They both
What?
suck.
Yeah.
They're both
I mean,
really
if you're
bad.
gonna compare it
Yeah.
to what are we
Wait,
doing here?
fucking
Is
please.
this Panic at the Disco like Pretty Odd era? Like, what's the era? Is it like today
Fuck,
Panic at the Disco?
I don't know.
No clue.
I don't know. I just
My knowledge of Panic at the Disco is I chimed in with a Haven't You People Ever Heard Of? And that's about it.
closing a goddamn door.
Remember
That's
when
all
we
I
all
actually kind of
made
like that song.
we
That's a
all
good
made
song,
them
yeah.
really famous and successful? What why'd we do that? What is wrong with all of us,
I
including myself? Like, why do we all collectively go, these guys?
don't
Yes.
know, man. Because they were different, I guess.
Were they? No.
I'm
His
gonna
voice sounds awfully similar to the front man for Fall Out Boy.
I'm
Because ladies like
holding
him, and we like what ladies
I'm
like.
holding the Solomon here. I'm not gonna eat it because it's gonna crack into the thing. But I just want to
I would
hold.
prefer
This
you
is
eat it
my.
rather than just hold it up to the
I just
camera.
it feels powerful. I feel like I just have this almond, everybody, and I could eat it anytime.
He's
But I'm
got
not
three
gonna.
nuts. Fucking, all
This is
right.
my victory dance. So shoot, man. How y'all doing? What's the We
Really
don't plan
creative.
this first segment
Really
anymore.
creative dialogue
We
here.
don't do any kind of segment.
I'm just back from I went camping, then immediately went to Vegas, then immediately came back and played a show yesterday. So I've
Nice.
had zero time to prep for this episode. I'm gonna be honest off the front here. But I've
I
heard
mean,
this song like a bajillion times,
I was gonna
so
say
I'm
you
pretty
should be
confident
fine.
that I could riff off the
This song did not
cuff
feel like one I
here.
really had to prep for because I've
I
in my
know.
household we've listened a lot recently, so we're
It's ingrained into my mind. But
yes.
I did like do a power listening of it last night at like
Yeah.
2 in the morning. I was like, let's just back to back it like 4 or 5 times. And then just now I like read the Wikipedia really fast just to be like, okay, let me just get like a
It's a long
basic.
Wikipedia.
I didn't read the whole thing.
I'll be honest. Can
I
I be
took
honest?
pieces. I was like, this is
Yeah,
good.
it is
Sure,
a
sure,
somewhat
sure.
obnoxiously long
Yeah,
Wikipedia where I almost
it
want
is.
to.
When it hits the composition breakdown and it goes literally part by part, I'm just going like, yes, you're literally just describing the song.
Here's the introduction. Second mark, and I'm like, okay, yeah, we get it. All
Coming
right,
from
let's
three
move on.
gentlemen that we're about to talk for an
Yeah,
hour about this song,
yeah,
I
yeah.
still think the Wikipedia needs to get cut down.
Obnoxious,
Yeah.
obnoxious. One of us needs to go in there and just hack it.
I've posted something on Wikipedia before,
Have
but
you? I've never done it.
I
I
don't even
should
have.
too, because I love Wikipedia.
There's a broadside ballad from the what you call like post-Renaissance, like early modern period that I wrote a description for. It's somewhere there. Everybody, you're
Cool.
welcome. That's what I
Oh,
did for you.
please
That's
get the
from me to
link.
you.
Please get the link, brother. I'm gonna keep saying brother, apparently, this
Brother, you are
brother.
going down. If it's between you and some poor bastard whose wife you're gonna make a widow. This has been Know Your Al Pacino, everybody. My name is
Oh,
Colton.
I thought that
From
was Dusty
Heat.
Rhodes for a second. All right, my bad.
I know we're saving this, but I do want to just say I want to talk to Maynard James Keenan and like everyone in his camp about what a cover actually means, because I'm
Yeah.
starting to think, other than The Nurse Who Loved Me, which is a
Beautiful cover
great,
off of 13
beautiful,
Step.
right? I don't think they've, it makes me think they just shouldn't do it
What are
anymore.
you talking about? They have a whole album full of them.
It's a great album. Colton was a
The
big
best
Max knows what he's
album they
doing. Max
have.
knows what's happening here.
Imagine, guys, imagine.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, it was, and to be fair, I've actually heard that song. I heard it like a few years ago, so I already hated Maynard over this, but I was like, I think this is a good opportunity to just continue my Maynard, what the fuck happened to my childhood hero? What happened?
Something starting to slowly dawn on me. We're not talking about Slipknot, are we?
We're
Because
not.
I
We
have prepared
could.
only for Slipknot. That is
We could shift.
I did go back and listen to that song. I remember that song
I was gonna
already.
say, I know you've heard it. You
And
had
I
to have.
was I could like think
Yeah.
of it when you're all talking about it, but I couldn't remember the actual
Sure,
thing.
yeah.
That
Rob and
video.
I had the conversation before I came in that episode, and he asked me, he's like, am I gonna know all these songs? And I was like, yeah, and Colton will too. And the one that I was like, I don't know if Colton will know it by name, but I know he's heard it, was Duality. I was like, I'm sure he's heard that song because everyone's heard that song. But then when we did the episode and you were like, I don't know, I was like, wait, really? You haven't heard this song? So I'm glad that you're.
Max and I
Nothing is
sung it
what
to
it
you. You should have
says.
known.
Yeah, I
That's it.
watching the
Good, huh?
video, all I could think was the smells I'm certain were happening in that music video.
Oh,
Oh,
Make
whoa.
me
Yeah.
I don't miss live shows. I don't miss
No.
going to them, and I don't miss playing them.
Is that weird? Is that weird that, because I don't either, and I feel like something's wrong, because I have so many friends that are like, love going to live shows, and I'm like, I could do without it.
What is that? Is
I
it
don't
from
know.
playing?
Maybe that's
I
what
think
it
it is
is.
the playing. I remember having this conversation with a common listener, Rob Hermanson, our buddy, to where I was telling him, like,
Bumby.
going, yeah, 1B.
Rob, I'm going to text you back. I promise. I'm so sorry. Okay.
Thanks. Oh, wait, you're talking the other one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like going to a show, I was telling him, like, it's not magical anymore for me. Like, I can see what they're doing. Like, don't get me wrong, there are times where a good live show is a good live show, but you're
Yeah, definitely.
but he was like, oh no, see, to me it's magic. Like, what's happening? Like, I don't know what the guitar is doing. I don't know what the drummer is doing. And so I've always kind of felt like becoming a musician kind of took a little bit away from watching music. The only thing I do now is I just get jealous.
Yeah, that happens a lot. I'm like, I want to be up there. I
Yeah.
want to do that.
Like, I want
I
that equipment.
think in both
I want
ways,
that drum set.
I
That's what
don't
it is.
associate. Like, and this is from like doing production stuff too, where like you're doing behind the scenes crap and you're doing like front of house stuff. I don't associate concerts anymore with like good vibes. When I was in high
Fun.
school and like we were
Yeah.
going to like LA,
Sure.
the Troubadour and stuff, you know, and whatever the
Oh, man.
Starland Ballroom and that and whatever. I think it's more associated with youth also and what my body could get away with as a
There is a little
child.
bit
I
of what time
don't
does it end?
know.
Yeah.
Well, I was just my wife and I on Friday we went to see Shakespeare from the Half Moon Bay Shakespeare and Company. Everybody, I recommend it.
La-di-da.
Go ahead. We went, it was a 7:30 show, 7:30 at night. It was like a outdoor venue, and that thing was 2 hours long, 2.5 hours. It was 10 o'clock. We had like a 45-minute drive back home, and we were both going, "What happened? We can't do this." Like we were falling asleep, act three, going home, and it was
Yeah.
like, and we like she was
To
talking
be fair,
about.
it's Shakespeare. So, I mean, yeah,
I think
that
I
can
went to
kind of make you go
see.
to sleep.
Hey, the play was great. The
Okay.
play.
I went to see Thrice last year, like live, and I remember them finishing up their set and in my head being like, please don't do an encore. I'm so
Amen. Yeah.
tired. I'm so, and they did, and it was great. I was glad they did because then they played like, I think they played Deadbolt or something to come back because it was the 10 year of Vici or something. I don't know. I forget. It was something, but it was a good show. But then they came back with like a song that I liked and it was fun. But I remember in that moment being like, I'm so done. I
I'm
want to go
done. Yeah.
home. I'm tired. I'm sweaty. I'm in the pit. Why am I in the pit? Why am I here punching people right
Bravo.
now?
I was gonna say, Max, I couldn't do that.
I held
Yeah.
out for a while
That's
and then like, you know, that one song comes on, you're like, okay, I'm gonna go in there. I
I
don't know
don't
if, for me, that's how it worked.
I have never been a pit person.
I've always
Yeah.
been
I
that
was
way.
a pit rat for a long time,
Yeah.
and I'm
Yeah.
not proud necessarily. It was fun. I mean, when you're young, I guess that's it's
It's a good
kind of
time.
what it is. It's a good
Bringing
time.
up Rob Hermanson again, the one time I
Rob,
can
yeah.
remember being in a pit, he was wailing his arms around, and I got that elbow coming down right on
Ooh.
the front of my face, and I was like, "Yeah,
That's fun.
this isn't a place for me.
This isn't
This is."
for me. When you watch those like big wall of death videos from
I've
like
been in one
any
of those.
insert band, Max, I never have. And like I remember when I was young going, yes. I think at Mr. Q's, I can't remember
Oh
what
God,
band did
Mr.
a wall
Q's.
of death. And I'm like, how is that possible? Mr. Q's, by the way, for like we have listeners from like Lebanon. I think I saw a Lebanese
Whoa. Nice.
listener. This was a
Welcome.
venue in Lancaster,
Hello to Lebanon.
California that was very small. That had billiard tables in the back and
Yes.
not even a stage, like a
No.
slightly raised carpet
It
platform.
was an area.
It was an
I still remember it as a pool hall more than a music venue.
Yeah. That would get destroyed whenever bands would play there. Yeah.
Yes.
And then
What was
and
it?
it
For
was
some
awesome
reason,
every
yeah.
time.
Yeah, it was a
But
cool
yeah,
spot.
no, Wall of Death was not it's weird because it seems crazy looking at it, but when you're in it, it's not that bad. I
I
don't
mean,
know. I don't know how to explain it. Like you just kind of run into a guy and you're like, okay, that's it. That's the whole thing.
I think
Max,
literally
your
in the
build.
NFL, they put on helmets and
Yeah,
pads
but
for
no one's
that.
running that fast, Rob. We're all fat and out of shape.
Well,
I
the
mean,
fat part actually makes me nervous. I can't run
we're just
into
stumbling. No, you'll hit a nice pillowed body. Soft.
a and then hit the nice, not pillowed floor.
Well, yeah, you stay on your feet. I don't think it's
Will I?
possible to fall down because you have a crowd of people right behind you. Like, it's
That's
impossible.
where I
See,
fall back into like
and
knees
I
and
will say,
elbows.
for metal shows, I will give the metal community this for the most part. Obviously, can't stop, but like, if you fall down in a pit, people will like make
Usually
room and
help you
help
up.
you up. Like,
I do remember that as like the etiquette. I also
Yeah.
remember really hating, and still today, really hating anyone who tries to crowd surf. Like, in a way that I'm like,
Really?
it is so like
I don't
inconsiderate
have a
and
problem with
dangerous.
it.
Well, I've seen like I was at the Face to Face My Chemical Romance Say Anything show way back. It was like when
Ugh.
Say Anything, it was like I actually talked to Max Bemis and
Okay.
embarrassed myself, and then he
Wow.
went on to embarrass himself for decades
Yeah,
after
yeah,
that.
yeah.
But
He was making it up to you.
somebody broke their neck crowd surfing. Like,
Ooh.
because the thing is, the crowd surfing is we know it's not one person being lifted and gently moved around. It's throwing from
Yeah,
one person,
it's a
tossing.
mess.
I used to rabbit punch people a little bit if they landed
Oh,
on me.
wow.
I didn't like
You were really
it.
rude.
They
I just
landed
hated
on
this.
me, I didn't have fun.
What I didn't like, well, A, I never did it because I was like, I'm too big. A, no one's gonna catch me and I'm just gonna eat shit. And B, like, I'm heavy. Like, I was heavier back then than I am now. So I was like, I'm not gonna do that. But I didn't mind like helping people do it, or if I was near the front. If somebody's gonna go do it, you can like, they're like, hey, I'm here, it's coming. And you're like, cool, I'm ready. What I didn't like is randomly sometimes people would just be like, I'm gonna crowd surf from the back. And now I'm just enjoying the show and a foot or an ass
Yeah.
just hits the back of my head. And I'm like, what the fuck? And now I gotta
Yeah.
like hoist this dude or a chick. And I'm like, get the fuck
That's
off of me.
95% of my crowd surfing experience is that.
See, I would just be afraid of roaming hands.
The fuck's happening right now?
I don't know.
I believe a
I don't
commercial
know.
break is.
If you're looking for fun events, awesome music, and enjoyable podcasts, then look no further. The Basebone Entertainment family has you covered. With so many talented people in our community, it was only right that we not only bring you events, but all sorts of awesome entertainment. Follow Basebone on social media or join our Discord community to stay updated and engaged in everything. That is at Baseblown on social media and discord.gg/baseblown for our Discord. Baseblown Entertainment, bringing you more than just bass in your face.
Welcome to the Siren Songbook, a podcast where we discuss female artists, their music, their history, and the impact they've made on the music industry. Join us each month as we pick a new inspirational artist and celebrate exactly what it is that makes them so magical.
You can listen to new episodes of the Siren Songbook on Spotify every last Wednesday of the month. The Siren Songbook, a Baseblown Entertainment podcast.
I don't have any Galileos in me today, by the way. I can't.
Because you're going to be, you got to be the tenors.
Yeah. Okay. I get one.
Rob's the bass for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm more of the yeah, I'm definitely a tenor. I don't think I'm an alto. I don't got the chops for that.
Alto is what I was going for. Yeah.
I've already covered this friendship lore on the podcast, but when Rob and I were first talking about a band and he was like, I could sing. And he was like, I know it's like weird, but like I was singing like Backstreet Boys with my friends and I could do the bass really well. Like I have a bass voice. And that was one of the first things I was like, cool. Like I was like, I was into it. I wasn't like, ugh. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
I like this.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And it turned out I couldn't really sing that well then.
no one could sing. It was always like, who can try to sing?
Who's willing?
Exactly.
Who's closest to being okay at it?
Yeah.
No, that was not the
who's
that
willing.
Was not the,
right.
Yeah,
right.
Who's willing was right. Like, who's gonna stand up there with the microphone and
who's willing to put up with it?
What band in Lancaster that you all remember playing with had like a good singer, like a good front person singer?
Oh god,
the name, see, I won't remember any names.
And I love a lot of bands we play with and there's a lot of people I knew, but I'm gonna say zero.
Like, you know, just because he's probably the compliments of Apollo, baby.
Leo was not bad. I think Leo was very hard on himself, but Leo was like, I thought he did good.
He did even better in Hunt for Red October. Wait, that's the name of the movie.
No, I know what you're talking about.
The Fall of Red October.
Fall of Red October. Thank you, guys.
He was great in that.
Because
his screams were pretty damn good.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody.
I never sang it.
I know. I can't even. I don't even know if we're back. I'm assuming we're back.
I just started to like. Yeah, it's an interesting thought because there were good bands, but I don't think any of us had. Like Rob, you. I think it's because you and I were both trying to be something else. Like we were trying to sing a certain way and not the way we should be singing. And like, once you found like me, we found our thing. I think.
It took forever to find my like actual voice because I had a terrible moment there to where I really got into Circa and Coheed.
Claudio Sanchez ruined so many.
when you were trying to be that.
And listen to this voice trying to do that. We had a song on an album that didn't get released, but so many people listened. I think it was God was a Dinosaur. But like my vocal part, everybody's like, why did you put that stupid fucking mousy effect on your voice? And I'm like, there's no effect. That is literally how I was singing.
Pure.
I miss that album, man. I don't have it anymore.
Neither do we.
I don't know where it is.
I keep bugging Rob for it, and he's like, I don't have it. And I'm like, damn it, dude. I want to listen to those songs.
I have none of our Rob. I don't even have Cosmopolitan.
And I mean, I can understand how you might think that I'm just holding out, going like, nope, doesn't exist. I don't get it.
I believe you. Because we have other songs that are way more embarrassing than we share those with each other.
that's the beauty of making music is like, we've all swung and missed.
Oh,
like plenty of times.
Many times.
Yeah.
But
sharing it with you guys is fine because I'm like, it's you understand.
Yeah.
I can't share this with other people, my misses, because then they're going to be like, oh, this is terrible. This is what you are. And I'm like, no, I promise. I have good stuff too, please.
Yeah.
I don't think Rob agrees with me, but I'll say though, when we were like just playing shows and I was in high school and even when I was like in college and that, I had no worry about whether or not someone would like us, because in my head I was like, oh, well, everyone will like us if they, I don't know, it's like one of those like young.
I think for compliments, I had that mentality. I was like, oh, I think we're good. Yeah, people like it.
Because you're so excited, right? You're excited about what you're doing.
It was like for me, that was like my first band where like we played shows. So I was like, this is cool. This is great.
There was a charisma I think we all had that kind of carried it. Believe it or not, listener.
Are we in? I don't know.
We are in.
Okay. Yeah, we're in.
Let's get back to the taking a big swing. The song we're about to discuss. Took a huge swing, and I believe they hit a home run.
Oh, 100%. I mean, undisputably, right?
I'm going to let this transition.
We'll see. There's always room for dispute.
I'm going to let this transition work. Yo, man, I'm so happy we're talking about this. I think usually we have to, not justify, but explain why we're talking about the song we have. But I think if you listen to our previous Song Spotlight episode, all will be clear. My question, I guess, is, Max, why did you choose this over Slipknot's Duality? Because this is your doing. Like,
I mean, I think I think it's kind of like basically what Rob is saying is they took a big swing and it was a huge hit. Like,
yeah, given
and
the
I
fact
think that's one of the reasons. And the other one is like, I think it's undisputably one of the most well-recognized, well-known pop songs, if anything, of the late 70s, early 80s. I mean, it was released in 75, but I think most people think of it as an 80s song, even though, funny enough, it's not.
It's, again, how many times it gets on the charts. But, I mean, it's the fact that it's part of that progressive rock catalog of songs that actually were radio successful.
You know,
that's a
one
short
of, one
list.
Of the few that... Yeah. Especially back then, and I think from what I read, it's like this came out when the prog era was like coming to a close because punk rock was on the horizon, and that kind of was like the anti-prog scene.
Yeah.
So the fact that this landed the way it did in the time where that style of music was already starting to die off is pretty crazy,
causing a lot of eye rolls, and
Yeah, and I'm sure like the initial release probably didn't see that much. I'm sure a lot of critics were like, "Oh, what the hell?" But it had the staying power. And then I do think that the inclusion of it in Wayne's World,
of course,
kind of reignited that fire, you know, and kind of brought it back. So, yeah, long story short for that answer is I think it was a more impactful song than Duality. Do I love Duality? Of course I do. It's awesome. But I mean, if we're going to talk about one song and those are the two options, I had to edge it to Queen.
And Colton, what would your rating for Duality have been?
Oh, y'all missed on some real snark. I was like locked and loaded. I've been watching Thundercats and I was like, snark, you haven't seen nothing yet. But I'm going to unload on these puppies. And so now it's just for the future. We'll see. We'll see what that takes us. I'm really happy, man. I think it's interesting because Queen's one of those bands that I don't know. I mean, Rob, you're like aware of Queen. Everyone's aware of Queen.
Of
and
course.
Depending on who you are, you've like listened to like Night at the Opera, like the earlier stuff, or like you're like deep in the pocket of like, I don't know, like I actually like. Recently, my wife and I became what I would say is like more Queen fans. And it's like almost like passed down from like our parents, like her mom and my parents. And I'm like listening to like the last record before Freddie Mercury dies and like Days of Our Lives and like Going Slightly Mad, like really weird late Queen songs. And I'm like, this is cool. Like they're weirdly uncool most of the time. They're like... Yeah. Just like nerdy dudes.
Yeah, there's a whimsical like little side to some of their decision making.
I think they're, but that is also like very kind of refreshing. Where like I don't even think a lot of those songs to me always hit, like late Queens too. But I think Bohemian Rhapsody is like a perfect this is Queen. Like if we were doing a whole discography, it would be difficult to not choose. Like there are songs I like more, but it would be really hard.
I think for me, I would have to just like, it would just be songs. Like I realized only recently did I discover that this song is off of Night at the Opera. Like I don't know their albums. I know their songs. I know at least 20, 25 Queen songs, but I don't know what the hell it's from.
I think they were like hit makers, but not necessarily like known for albums, but man, did they pump out hits like no other.
Like literally before this, I would have been able to go like, I know what soundtrack this song is from, you know, but
one of those things where they do this song and it's to the level of success that it is, but they don't have like another Bohemian Rhapsody, like clone, right? In the back. Do they like, there's not a lot of, I mean, they do like longer songs than that, but like the operatic, like,
I think
majesty of this.
I haven't listened to all their songs because there's too many. But from what I know, I think the closest one is maybe Innuendo, but it's not the same. It's not the same level now.
But it's
similar in the fact that it does a lot of things. It has like the acts, I guess.
The parts in that,
No refraining chorus, just like
Bohemian, it's the piano and the opera, and Innuendo is like the Spanish guitar flamenco sections and stuff like that. But I think this was kind of a definitely one of the more unique pieces that they did.
And I would argue, I would argue that in general, this is the Queen song, right? I'm not trying to say for any of our particular interests, just when it comes to society.
I think so, yeah.
This is the Queen song.
I agree with that part. I am interested to see what you all have to say about all of it together. I don't have like bad notes. Like, I don't think I have anything bad. Like, it's hard.
Yeah.
It depends.
I'm kind of, because, yeah, I was thinking that earlier today where I was like, I don't know that I have anything really bad to say. So I'm going to rely on Colton and Rob to have bad things to say.
I really want to clarify to the listener. We don't go into it thinking we have to say something bad. Is that what you do, Colton?
I am someone where I really believe if I'm going to like just talk about how much I love something, I want it to be honest. But I also,
yes,
I think I'll one of those like fan culture of like, everything everyone does, like when I was watching the Pussifier cover of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Is that how it's pronounced?
I don't know.
Is it? I don't know.
I thought Pussifer or Pussifer.
Oh, okay. Sure. That makes
that's
sense.
Fine.
Like Lucifer?
Yeah. That's,
I mean, I can just, we all agree I, on I'm something sorry. Else? It's stupid.
It's very stupid. Yeah.
And that's I don't dumb. Care about saying stupid things.
That was already to where, again, this isn't planned. I didn't want to say anything bad, but Maynard comes to mind and I got some bad things to say. It's very honest. Yeah,
I don't think I would go into any of these, like, I need to find something bad, but I do want to go into these and be like, let me open myself to see any bad things in it, because I want to be as honest as possible while also recognizing that I am a fan. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I love this song, but if I'm going to talk about it in a quote unquote critical way, let me at least be open to the possibility that there are flaws and try to find them.
And any good song should have like the ability to overcome like susceptible to that kind of an analysis. Like, it's funny, like it's like with movies, like where I think there's a real push and a lot of like, I don't want to like point fingers, but like comic book, especially things where the first things people do are post like Rotten Tomato ratings to see like where it's moving on the line, and anything below 90, it's like, well, what's going on? Like, why isn't this being deemed the most perfect thing? It's just weird culture shift that I don't understand.
By the way, the new Fantastic Four, I think, is overrated.
I have not seen it.
I did watch Thunderbirds finally, and I hate Mark. I hate all of it. It's all bad. Like, why do I have to? I did no homework. I had no idea who anybody was. And most people were
Thunderbirds?
Dead. Thunderbirds? Thunderbirds 7?
Thunderbirds?
Oh, Thunderbolts?
Thunderbolts. Maybe it's Thunderbolts.
Thunderbolts? I don't fucking know.
I don't know. The one with Florence Pugh?
Yes. So maybe it was.
I think that's Thunderbolts. I think, man.
With
the
Nastro. Okay.
It,
I think
watch
I'm thinking
it,
of
watch
the puppet.
It is Thunderbirds, and I'm just an idiot.
I think Thunderbirds is the puppet movie.
Well, you go Thunderbirds, you go Thunderbolts. I'm going to go Thundercats.
Thundercats.
Email us at no.your.writes. And
which one is it?
.podcast@gmail.com. Yeah. And let us know how stupid we are. All right. So this song starts off with a nice little 5-part harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly entirely done by Freddie Mercury for the intro part.
I think so. Yeah.
I believe that.
Did you read that? No. I saw that it was. I read that it was, because, you know, again, 1975, a while back, and no CDs, nothing like that. So they recorded this on like 24, 8 tracks or something like that. Something crazy.
I read that they wore the tape so thin that like it was starting to become like transparent,
translucent,
or you could just like look right through it.
My like singular hot take with this is when I hear this song, to me, this song is like a really great feat of songwriting, but it's even a bigger feat of engineering
production.
Like,
yeah,
the production part to me is actually
the production's insane
across any of like the musicians that are part of it and like the lyrics and everything. The production is actually the thing that makes it all what it actually is.
Usually a song where they say that there's like at one point 180 plus overdubs, I'm going to pop a blood vessel in my eye from rolling it. But in this instance, it's fine. Like
it makes sense.
I can appreciate what this song is clearly going to go for.
they were trying to do something that at the time was very difficult to do with the technology that was available. Nowadays, obviously, much easier, but like back then.
And it is a trip. Like, I love the first lyrics to the song because it feels like it is just kind of like, get ready. These lyrics are actually going to make sense, not make sense, but just, is this the real life? Is this just fantasy?
Right. Yeah.
It's clearly a fantasy football reference.
I don't want to have to just give updates all the time, but it's a good Sunday, man.
It is
fun.
A good Sunday,
it's
buddy.
All fun, you know, it's all just having fun, a good time. Colton.
Anyway, but like I do think that it kind of creates like the emotion right away.
And this is like where we've covered long songs before, and we've covered like bands who kind of specialize or like would like to specialize in longer songs. This is kind of a blueprint. Like, we just got finished talking about Black Sabbath, and I couldn't help but like, I didn't re-listen to some of those longer songs, but I couldn't help to go back to some Sabbath and go, yeah, it's this easy. The difference in like how they respect the listener's time and just respect the listener. And like, I like Black Sabbath, but the way like a lot of those kind of like 70s bands that were all kind of dipping into prog, right? Like they all kind of like, we've covered like Zeppelin, The Who, and they all have those records where they're not like capital P progressive, but they are like, they're all doing different parts and movements and shifts and things. But
well, yeah, like Stairway to Heaven is, I would argue Stairway is maybe a little bit more of the blueprint because that's one of the first like radio successful non-repetitive chorus kind of thing. But Queen just takes it another step up when they reach this point.
And I don't even think it was purposeful either. I think it was just happened to do it.
Well, supposedly Freddie said that he had like three different songs.
It was three different songs, that he was just like, well, I guess we'll just put them together. And
do
I
you
don't
know where
that
the three are?
I think so,
I don't.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure it out, but that's an honest question.
I think it's the intro part, which is the piano interlude. And then the second one is the opera after the solo, right?
What the fuck was he writing that opera part for?
I don't know.
But
I don't know.
Before
he wrote it, and it was cool.
It was cool. But before we even reach that part, like that opening part when it does come out to me, God, playing that is a pain in the ass.
I just have to started reach over.
Yeah, doing the taking the left hand and going over the right. I'm just like, reach this over, is awkward hand. As hell. I know it's just an octave chord you're hitting right there, but that's, and like he's singing it. Like I did watch it live, and like,
oh, of course, I think the Live Aid one, you just got to watch that,
dude.
It's classic.
I kind of get goosebumps for it. Like, Freddie's got a vibe to him and some teeth, baby.
He is. I think like the kind of quintessential like frontman, like performer, just like complete and total. Like I was watching, who is it? Benson Boone, that singer dude. He did like a big cover of Coachella at Bohemian Rhapsody, and they actually brought on Brian May to like do the solo,
nice.
Which was sad because nobody recognized him at Coachella because I don't know, burn that
young,
festival to the ground.
Young,
but
recognize that guitar tone, baby.
There are people who try to do Freddie Mercury, right? And like I was even thinking, like,
for example,
Fred
Maynard
of our day. Like, I don't think he's trying to do Freddie.
No,
I was thinking like Adam Lazar and like, you know, the charismatic Mike Swinging, all that stuff. I don't think anybody commands a stage like that guy. And it's I think he's a pretty good lyricist in most songs, not always. This song is great. But it's the showmanship, like, you have to sell this song. Like, that opening you're talking about, Rob, it is so awash, and, like, it's sincere to the point where it could almost be cringy if it's done in another way.
I see what you're saying.
Like, absolutely.
So melodramatic. And it's opera, right?
That is actually why I wanted you guys to check out these covers, just to see. And there are even more. There are more people who have tried to cover this.
I'm
and
sure
like,
there's more.
It's Freddie. Freddie's the voice for it.
Freddie, like, yeah.
Even in a live setting, he's still doing way better than you in a studio spending 10 hours on a vocal track. Freddie still got this.
The Pussifer one was so insulting to me because it's done in a way that they are like tongue-in-cheek, like they are better than the song. Like they can't, like, they don't want to hit that like melodrama in the opening. And it's it's ridiculous. It's a waste of time.
Yeah, it's like, why even cover the song?
It doesn't sound like they like the song.
It makes no sense. And even Maynard said it's just like, well, it was just kind of like karaoke fun. I'm like, then do it at fucking karaoke night. don't hit record here. Anyway.
I'm glad I didn't hear that one.
I knew this was brimming, Rob. I knew you weren't done yet. You needed to bloodlet some Maynard frustration.
Let it out, man.
But you bringing up the lyrics, like the fact that it can be close to cringe. I love the fact that Freddie never said what these lyrics are about. Because I have my own very personal way, which I don't want to dive too deep into. But like, I can relate these lyrics to my own personal life in a very specific way, to where I'm like, damn, this song's hidden.
I think it has that flexibility of like, you can kind of make it fit into some bad times that you're dealing with, because it is mostly a bad times song, I think, like lyrically. This is dealing with like somebody going through like a dark time, I think.
I think he said something to the effect of like, it's about relationships, or someone in Queen has said that, and that's pretty much it. But it's, I mean, that doesn't mean anything.
And even that, could be extrapolated to whatever.
Well, and this is where the Freddie Mercury of it all nails it, because it's like, obviously it has a very gentle like, mama just killed a man, but when it hits that like, mama, ooh, oh, man. I literally got a little bit of a chill, and I know that it's a little bit of hyperbole,
especially the next line, I don't wanna die, I sometimes wish I've never been born at all, and then the guitar solo comes in and you're already feeling a certain kind of way, and then Brian May's just like, let me let those tears out, my guy, and you're like, holy shit,
he seriously has one of the best guitar tones for when it comes to that time frame. That guitar solo just screams, it cries. And he even said that he was like, I didn't want to play the guitar and just go like, bam, 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 da, da.
Which 9 out of 10 people would do.
I'm one of those 9.
There's a time and place for that. I think there's a time and place for playing the melody and like doing little things, but.
Yeah, it's called Nevermind by Nirvana.
And they made it work.
And they made it work. It was the right time, the right place.
It works sometimes, man.
No, that's so always great.
But then 1 out of 10 times you get this, when it's just like, it sings. It sings at you.
That's the best way of putting it. And he's like just like a hair behind the beat. Like, he's on beat, but he like manages to drag it out and not just like try to be like really on top of the drum.
And then kind of rushes it to get to the next quarter or whatever. It's pretty amazing. And it's all... And I don't think the guitar is really come in until then, right? It's like the drone, 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 drone. Yeah. Is that when it first comes in? That going into the second part of that first verse?
Well, let's sing the beginning of it.
Okay.
Let's
just... 1, 2, okay. I got the bass.
The bass is there pretty much the entire intro, which I think is a nice touch, because the piano is not going to have the same like carrying power that a bass has, so it's nice that they added the bass just for those root notes to just kind of power through, while the piano handles the softer touches at the top of the register. But then when the guitar, I think the guitar kicks in at the solo and then continues on from there. I'm pretty
sure if there's like anything subtly before it, budget, that
you don't,
is
you don't
when,
feel it
yeah
you don't
that
feel
is when the guitar
until,
is like, hey, I'm here, buddy.
That's the kind of bigger thing I was thinking, is that's like a move a lot of bands will do, right? They know they want to layer the instruments in, especially if they're ramping up for something that's like a little longer. They know they have a lot more runway.
That's a classic move. We've all done it.
But it's the phasing, kind of like the vocals opening everything in and then starting with the piano, and it all just starts to like slowly build. It's not done also in a way that feels overly wrought. Like I think I've dragged this song before, but there's a early November song where he literally like calls in each instrument in the lyrics to a way where,
oh, God.
Ace Enders, you should be ashamed that you did that. And this is one of those songs where we're all trying to piece together where the guitar comes in. That's cool, because it's there.
It's not that obvious.
And he's doing little things. I think even like behind the fret, right? Brian May's kind of like hitting little bits of the guitar to like mimic like chimes and things. It all goes together so seamlessly, where if we're talking about this being 3 songs, my question I was asking, it's because even though you could piece the DNA, right? Mm-hmm. It feels so singular. Like, how do you cut? How would you cut this down for a radio edit?
For a radio edit, I have no idea. But for as an individual song, I guess the first section, the first little segment, it seems the easiest for me to go, like, okay, I guess it just
it's ends. What they did for Live Aid. They just played the intro and then went straight into Radio Gaga.
Well, for Live Aid.
For Live Aid. For Live Aid.
Yeah, but they,
which is a fantastic
song. That's an amazing song.
Good tune, yeah. But for other live performances, they just, like, once it hit the operatic section, they just let it play on the stereo. And, like literally walked away from their instruments. And it's like,
they
okay,
like, well,
we'll come back.
We can't do this part live.
Yeah, like, are you kidding me?
I know, Rob, you and I have talked about this with Brand New before, where, like, Brand New, like, did so many overdubs and stuff on their mm-hmm. records. Not nearly this, but to where it's impossible to play it off live. And
yeah.
I don't mind, especially given what I just told y'all about live shows. Like, to me, live shows are, I want mess. Like, that's what I want. Like, if I'm going, and, like, nowadays, I'm not going. But at the time.
You want that raw, like.
That's, to me, the live experience. I've never been impressed with precision anyway. And so I'm never, like, because I'm not precise. So I'm not
going to
appreciate someone else's precision.
I'm not obsessed with precision. But I'm not a fan of the complete
opposite. I seem to remember us recording together and you were obsessed with me being imprecise.
I this is always something I'm going to have to deal with in so many different bands. But it's just like, I'm not trying to go for precision here. I'm going for better than that. Like, I'm not saying it needs to be perfect, but we're really far off the mark here.
I think I like precision in live shows. Mm-hmm. I think I'm the opposite. Because to me, that's impressive that you can replicate it on a live setting. But I will say there's different music styles that lend themselves more to that than others. Mm-hmm. I do think some music styles I prefer where it's more just raw and fun. Like if I'm going to go see like a funk show or something, I want them to just have, like, I don't fucking want them to be exact. But if I'm going to go see like a prog metal band, I want them to hit everything exactly.
There's a little bit of that. Right. Like if you're going to go see Dream Theater live,
they better
be on their
and that's exciting. Here. But in the same turn of the key, why am I saying weird words like that? In the same way, like
turn of the key, turn of the screw. Yeah.
In the same way, like ignition, when they are that precise in that album specific or exact to the album, it is kind of almost boring where you're like, I've heard this version already. So it is more fun when they are able to be precise, but also just be new or implement different things. And I know we're not talking about Queen anymore. We're just kind of just general live performance talk, but that's kind of where I'm at with the whole like precise or not. Like I just sound good and maybe bring in some new elements so that it can be like a new experience.
But that's why
I could have just heard that at home.
Yeah. Why to me though, Bohemian Rhapsody has, I would rather, if I'm going to do the balance, like this kind of song where they can't do this live. Like I don't think they ever did. And like, truly. And like the Live Aid, I love that Live Aid performance, but
yeah,
it's just not the same. And it
the Live Aid performance, it's the first song.
Yeah.
Out of these three songs, that's what they perform.
It's the first song.
They perform the first song. Yeah,
it's actually a very good opener to Radio Gaga. Like
it is. It went into it really well.
Absolutely.
But it did leave me wanting.
If I would have been in that crowd, I would have been pretty annoyed that I'm like,
I want the hard rock part. That's
the thing,
because
like,
I'm here.
All right, here's where I can get into my slight negative.
Okay.
The operatic part is a little, like, it can be a little much. It works, obviously. But if I'm going into this with trying to find something, trying to find, like, some objectivity to this.
Of the three parts,
this is the moment where I'm just like, all right.
Man, this is the song, though. Like, that's the whole.
That's where I'm
this
at.
Is not the song, personally.
If the operatic part didn't exist in this song, we would not be talking about this song.
I kind of combined all three in that mentality, but yeah, you might be right.
because I think this is where, like, my whole point about it being these three, but it's also like, where would you cut it? Like, and to make it what it is, like, you can cut it after to, like, play at a show to squeeze it in, so you're not Coheed and you only play 8 songs at a show because that's all you can play.
Yeah, that's all you have time for.
I think it's, that's where, to me, it's such a masterclass of writing those longer tracks, because if you don't have that segment to act as the bridge, one is that hard part, it would never work, right? You could that's never do that heavy part going from that ballad, because you need the connector.
Would it hit the same without it? And I don't think it would.
Well, I from what they said that when they were in the studios, I believe it was Brian May saying that center part was supposed to be like a few seconds.
Yeah, and then I read that too.
Just Freddie kept adding another Galileo. Another Galileo. Oh wait, let's do Bismillah. Let's do Yeah, let's do what's that clown from, you know, the Commedia de Arte or however you say it?
Scaramouche.
Just like
Fandango.
They said that they were laughing, and in a good way. Like, I'm not saying that it's to bastardize the segment, but it was just like they were having so much fun in that part, which actually is kind of beautiful for how sad and like melancholy the first part is to go into this moment that has such a goofball like funness to it.
Do you think it needs that levity then? Because you're saying all this now, and it's kind of clicking for me right now that it's, I think you're right that it's the least, I don't know, like, I guess the least like impressive part of the song musically or whatever, but it is the most fun part of the song. Like when that part comes on and it's like on a karaoke or with your friends, like everyone's going Galileo,
of course. Everybody's so fun. Yeah, everybody's so bailing on that high note towards just like one of you guys do it. I can't.
I think if I was like, I'm going to rank. We're ranking the three out of the three.
All right.
The three. Yeah.
This is number one.
Oh, not
the heavy part's number two. If I'm thinking of what to cut, maybe it's you don't do. And by the way, I don't know why I'm talking about this, but maybe you do the, maybe you don't do the second.
I love that we're adding more rankings the into this podcast.
I know, how many can we do? But I think to me, like that playfulness y'all are talking about, which you're right. Like there's the levity does. Because that first part is so painfully sincere, and like we just finished on the best line of the song, right? Sometimes I wish I'd never been born at all. And that's like so conversational. It's not a lyric. It's like a statement. It's prose.
Yeah.
It's not
existential
poetry.
As fuck. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so not the way he's been singing the rest of that verse where everything's been very kind of like poetic based. He's not writing like proses. And then he finishes with like a grammatically complete, no contraction statement, which is weird. When he goes into the operatic part, like the Bismillah, we would not let them go, like that little, the dub stuff, that stuff is awesome.
It's it's awesome. Like, and it's, when I apply it to how I try to interpret the lyrics, that part to me is kind of like the insanity kicking in. Like clearly in the first verse is like I'm going through a really bad spot, and this is where it's just like it's like voices in my head type of scenario. And I think that that gives a lot of gravity to this part, to where it doesn't just have to be, while I do sometimes hear it as this is kind of silly, if I apply it to the lyrics and to what I feel like there's trying to make a connection and a real idea behind what the song's about, that part is actually wonderfully insane, you know, to where it fits into what the narrator is going through.
Yeah, I was going to say, it does still fit because, like, it says, like, I see a little silhouette of a man. So it's like, I see a little man, like somebody who's like, and then later on, it's like, I'm just a poor boy. Nobody loves me.
Going back to the.
So going back to, like, the melancholy of the. So even though it's like this fun, quote unquote, part of the song, it still ties into, like, hey, this song's still about, like, somebody going through, like, a tough time or somebody who's downtrodden. But, like, we're seeing, like, this outside perspective of like the people that are maybe see it as like, oh, look at this asshole, or look at
see, and or that's they don't another care, way to interpret
or whatever. And now you're like, oh, okay, I'm getting like looking from the outside in perspectives of this person's struggle. And then you get to the third act, which is, okay, fuck all of you, I'm gonna you know, Phoenix from the Ashes moment, right? Where he's just like, you think you can stop me and spit in my eye? Like, and you get a...
Spit in my eye? Whoa, like he's Dak Prescott or something.
Interesting. Cole, what do you have for that, for your favorite section? What do you have a lyrical interpretation?
Well, I think the whole thing to me is tonally, and that's to me the only thing that really matters to this song, because I think that's what he's going for anyway. Tonally is all, like you were saying, one small body beset by much larger forces. Like, it's like the like the whole idea of like the bohemian, the whole idea of like Scaramouche, right? The like kind of tragically picked on clown.
Yep,
it's all about scale. You are a small person, a small fish in an immensely large pond. And it's like got like nihilistic edge to it, which is
very
the
and he touches back on that on the coda. Nothing really matters, right?
Yeah, and like the Anyway the Wind Blows little like motif there. Yeah. And it's
which is beautiful.
Thematically it's really impressive, but it's also it's opera. Like that's the thing about it, is it's if you're looking at it from like a progressive rock side. I guess this is where the operatic part to me is so key. If you like listen up, which by the way, I don't want to be like, because I have records of opera. I've watched Frasier and Frasier. Lots of
opera. I love Frasier. Good show.
Operatically, this song is kind of like a fastball down the middle. Like that whole, like both thematically, right? And like how bombastic it is and how
There's no tonal center to it. It's just like kind of chaotic. Yeah.
And like lyrically, even like it's not libretto. What is it like when you're sing talking?
Vibrato?
Like staccato?
No, I don't think it's that easy. We are embarrassing ourselves. This is Know Your Opera.
When you're sing talking, I don't know enough opera to know.
Someone is yelling at us right now. And, that's
and they can email us.
Please educate us.
No.yor.writ.podcast.
Are you looking it up, Colton?
Yeah, because I'm literally sitting next to the world.
All of human knowledge is ready.
It's a big ass library.
And the world holds its breath.
Nothing really matters.
I don't want to ask ChatGPT. Recitative. Recitative.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I would have not have known
that. I actually read that word earlier. So very good. Very good, Colton.
No, but yeah, like, to me, that's where the genius of this song is Freddie Mercury recognizing that that is missing from what they were doing before, right? And what can make some of the earlier Queen before this slightly vanilla sometimes, or like not quite feel like the same scale.
Sure.
It's the ability to add in these like playful but like really dramatic moments. And that I mean, I guess we're at the heavy part. The heavy part rips.
Oh, heavy part is unbelievable.
Every time.
And what's funny is I do go into air guitaring, but the first thing I do is a quick air drum. It's like that, like I have to do the little snare flam and then I'm air guitaring. But yeah, that riff.
What a cool riff. Like, holy. And it's not even like anything complicated. It's just good.
It's good. And it's singular notes like on the lower strings, but they double it up. They have a perfect pan and they have a perfect like little like guitar tone. Fucking again, his tone is unbelievable. But how do you not, at least inside, pull a Wayne's World? You know, like you gotta just headbang, baby. Here we go. That's so good.
You turn 37 and your shoulders start to ache.
That's why you do it inside.
The inside headbang, not the outside headbang.
I just bounce. Now when I hear something, I get excited. I just go up and down. I'm like,
You become a toddler.
Yeah. Colt, are you okay? I'm fine. I'm good.
Yeah. Peanut butter.
But and also, I don't know the name of the drummer, but I just love his
Roger Taylor.
His conservativeness through that part is great.
Yeah, he keeps it right in the pocket.
That is four on the floor, just like fucking doom.
When he goes to the bell and the so you think you can, he's great, man. I think I think all together, and like Brian May is gonna like May it up. Like I think the guitar gets the most kind of like cutting through the wash of the song, like because the lyrics can kind of, there's so many dubs anyway with the lyrics, and like even in those heavier parts, Like the lyrics are kind of like, even in the mix, they're the key. But for all the other instruments to be so kind of like serving, and that's, we've talked about this before, when they're serving the song and everyone's not just trying to get their own nut.
Yeah.
Like wondrous things happen.
What happened to your almond?
Oh my God. Did I eat it?
You must have ate it.
I think I ate one. Yeah.
What happened to your almond of power?
Sorry, you said nut. What happened to your nut, dude?
We got backups.
You got backups. Sorry, that's good.
Am I right that it's like a triplet feel? Dun 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 dun. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Because it feels funky, but I think it's 4/4.
It's got a swing to it that like dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun. I think that adds to like the headbang aspect, because it's not just one. It's not just 4/4 straight. It's like it's got like some.
Yeah,
some fun little offbeat accents
That's something
like,
Brian
yes.
May is so good at, is like he's in the pocket, but it's almost like he's like expanding the pocket, which is really hard to do, you know, like it's without being over the top precise. Like we were saying before, it's like he gives this like loose, I'm with you guys, but it's making it sing.
Well, when for the solo specifically, like the fact that he's so loose, it lends itself to be like a second vocal melody that comes in. So it doesn't feel like a quote unquote like guitar solo. It just more feels like, oh, here's another vocal melody that's coming in, because he just does it so silky smooth. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's like, sorry, Colton, are you going to
say
something?
Oh, no. I was just thinking the way that solo ends, going into that kind of final thing, that it ends like almost on a kind of like minor down note. Like,
the way that they blend the guitar parts into the piano during that little like chromatic like descending. And that's where I'm going. Is this the beginning of part three? Or is this still part of part
this
two?
This is the end of part three, and then you go into the coda, which is the end.
Yeah, right.
Coda, by the way, for non-musical people, it just means an ending of a song that either introduces new stuff or revisits old stuff. In this case, it's revisiting the interlude. So yeah, I think it's three-parter with a coda at the end, which is just with an ending, right?
Well, and that's why I'm like, three songs, my ass. Like the last part is part of the first song.
The coda is part of the first song, I think. But the heavy part is its own thing, in my opinion.
But I can see it.
This is like, do you think, and I feel like I'm giving a lot of like, do you? What do you think about like, could like God make a burrito that even God couldn't eat? No.
But let's break that down.
Hey, everybody. Yeah. But I guess,
email
do
us.
You think, like, I'm thinking of, if I'm going to take it literally at three songs, like that heavy part, like, I'm really, because they're all so drastically different in vibe and yet feel so of a piece, could that song survive on its own? Like, could that heavy part, like, and it's impossible to answer, I know, but like taking it out of the context of the song, like if it's meant to be something else, like the melody, the, like, I mean, the riff is strong enough where I think it could, but
it's one of the best rock riffs, I think.
It reminds me of someone talking about like Nintendo video games and how good the game designers are at Nintendo, where like in a Mario game, people have said, like Mario will have one level with a particular mechanic that most game designers would take an entire game, and that would be the game mechanic, just that one level.
Yeah.
But they're so like creative, and they know where to pick things, and they also know when things don't take too much time. This song to me is that, because I love
songs Mario.
That we mainly, it's basically Mario. Yeah. You know when to leave things back, and then the coda is the first, but it's not, right? Like the melody's different. It's also just much shorter.
It's revisiting, I think, the feeling of the
instrumentation,
first,
I feel like. Yeah.
I think it also brings that like melancholy voice back, like nothing really matters. And you're like, okay, we're back to like
contextually it's a little more uplifting, right? Because once you've had like the kind of bombastic, like, do you think you could spit in my eye? I don't know why I think
that my eye.
Like the nothing
how,
really matters.
That's how I said it.
Yeah. It's more like of a release. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
I do think it's I think it's a complete arc of a story where it's just like somebody who's feeling down on themselves, and then the power almond is in play, and then
Fight it, Colton. Fight it, Colton.
For just, those of you listening, Colton,
my underbite, my underbite is so bad I could not bite this almond in half.
This is Colton trying to get his nut. Freaking.
But no, yeah, it's a complete arc because you get like, yeah, the beginning is somebody who's feeling in the dumps, then everyone's picking on them, and then the fuck all of you moment, and then at the end, like Colton's saying, like it's like the realization is like, man, none of this matters, like everything's fine.
It's interesting
anyway, the wind blows, man, like I'm just gonna go with the flow.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you say that, Victoria. It's like, the so you think you can stone me and spit in my eye. I still think that could also be Beelzebub going like, nobody, I'm still here. Like you can't get rid of me. I'm going to be this bad voice. Like I said, to me, there's more of like an internal dialogue during that throughout that segment. And then when that hits, it's just kind of like a little bit of like a snarling, like, no, your bad side's okay. Still here.
Devil is a liar, 69 God, you know?
There you go. That's yeah. But then, yeah, when it does come out of that heavy part and just like you have the harmonizing guitar, like, bam, bam.
Oh yeah.
Oh, just diving out of that, I'm like, this is such. That's where I'm like, I'm okay with you guys doing a jillion overdubs because it's
and even those like even those ooh yeahs, ooh yeah,
yeah,
ooh yeah. We're like in almost any other song, I'd be like, get out of here with that shit. In this song, I'm like, yeah, it works, man. It fits.
They have the bravado and the true raw talent to go like, we can do this.
Yeah.
And that's rare.
I think having listened to the whole, I think you need the opera part because that allows them to do all of the fun things they want to do, and it doesn't sound out of place at all. Because you're like, oh yeah, I just heard them sing Galileo, but like this is fine. This
here's
works.
The thing: I don't want you guys to misinterpret what I was
saying.
No,
we know
before.
What you said.
I didn't
no.
feel like that song, that part shouldn't be there.
No, I didn't. That's not what I'm saying either.
Yeah, because I'm all like,
I'm just
I think,
remembering.
I think everything's needed for this song.
Yeah. Max, we're like, we're going to course correct. Rob, we didn't think that. Rob,
I can't help it. I still got a little PTSD from
back off,
System.
Man.
And then,
don't you think though that the opera part feels like System? Like System would do that opera part.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's that is very System of a
I'm
Down.
Actually,
yeah, that is a very System.
Serge Tankian feels like he'd be the voice going like, we're not covering that song. I feel like at one point in time, Darren Malenkin was like, we should totally cover this
but
song.
But I do my drugs and I'm my right here in Hollywood.
Galileo!
That sounds like Sackdale Rock. Hello.
Now I just want to like really get on an AI kick and just go like, give me freaking Rage System. Against the Machine covers Bohemian Rhapsody.
I didn't get to say this during the Rage Against the Machine episode, so I just want to say it now. I love that one of the things Rage always did was like he would just say the name of the song before it started, almost like so we know. Like, killing in the name of. And then be like,
oh, it's
Bulls
this,
on
okay.
Parade.
Thank you.
So you know,
very helpful.
Sounds so similar.
Very helpful. He was doing that for the band. Where it's like, Tom, you're playing this riff.
He's like, oh, because they all sound so similar. Yeah. I don't know which one's.
All right, let's start the next song. That's every song. Okay, well, what are we doing?
It had to have been an easy.
Okay, cool.
Being the drummer. Being the drummer, I had to be like, oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, thank God.
Backbeat. I'm good.
Yeah. Whereas Queen did not have that problem. Every song is distinct.
Oh, my God. And then it is like, I think we opening kind of talking about like people covering in that. I think what's weird about the song that I don't think you can recreate is how sincere it is. Like, I know I mentioned that before, but it is. I know it's like the joke, right? Of like, they even say like that middle part is like, what can we do in a studio?
Yeah, it's just fun.
But there's a... Like, I think people have learned the wrong lessons from this song at different parts. It bugs me.
Tale as old as time.
Including that. I was kidding.
No,
Beauty the Beast is good. But it's like setting out to write a long song or setting out to write a song with a lot of parts is kind of doomed to failure, I think.
Yeah.
But it's like knowing that these parts need each other, and by also like knowing how to transition. I mean, we were, Rob and I were just talking about Black Sabbath, where it sounds like I hated that band. I didn't, but we were like, it's sometimes it's like they didn't know the transitions were coming, or if they did, it's like, well, just play this other part. Just sure. Do it.
And roll with it.
It didn't flow well or anything.
But it's like the thought that goes into how each thing transitions. Like Rob, you just talked about the guitar solo, how it melds into the piano. Mm-hmm. Like that is, and those things don't work, the song doesn't work.
Well, it's also it's a clear example of the capability of these musicians. Mm-hmm.
And a clear example of Freddie's, because from what I've read, it was same. This whole song was in Freddie's head. Like he was just like, "Oh, I got it." Which he directed the band kind of, and like this is the direction I want to go.
I want to be a fly on the wall with him going like, "No, it's like bam ba da ba da ba da ba
da ba da da." I feel bad. I feel like I've done that to you at least once before, Rob, with the solo. I'm like, "Well, it should be like a da 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 da."
Yeah.
Oh, Rob and I have done that plenty of times.
Oh, sure. Well, it's funny. Like that's when we're talking about like the capability of what they do. It feels like nothing against you and IMAX, but when we were doing like We're From Europe, we were hunting pecking for the next big explosive moment to where we didn't know what it was. We just knew that there was.
We had ideas, but there was no one.
Yeah,
there wasn't a big picture idea. It was all little ideas that we wanted them to fit together.
It feels like
I think Freddie just had the
Freddie and the gang. They had enough music theory in their head to go like, well, let's try this thing. Or you know, if they
and
would
if they
have
didn't,
a lot more.
My God, they made it seem like they did.
I think vision is like a key word, right? Like it's the And I think about it like when I'm writing, like I've tried to write books before where I'll have like the opening and like chapters and like I've tried and it's always fails. But when you actually start to work in like an outline of like, oh, it's amazing how much of a difference it is. Songwriting wise, I've never had to worry about it because in the tradition I work in, it's not like
you're not writing
these different
epics.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. Yeah.
I think we've all had the experience of like when you're writing something and you have like not even just parts, like you have the vibe, like when you know what the song's vibe is and you know how
the identity of the song,
that's a great way of putting it, like without knowing everything else about it, like you know what you want that song, like what slot you want it to fit into. And I think what's crazy is this song being as insane as it is and like impossible to describe, that's exactly it, right?
And they nailed it,
and
to go all the way back, to go all the way back to your question from a while ago, Colton, can the third act be a song on its own? I think that's an impossible question to answer because all we're getting is just that piece. We don't know what could have come of like, hey, let's extrapolate this act into just its own song. Because obviously, just that segment on its own is not a full song, but does it fit beautifully into what we have here? And I'm kind of glad that this is what we ended up with instead of just like a more generic, like here's your rock and roll, like hard hitting song that would have been cool. Whereas now it's like, no, this is now just a piece of like this bigger, more elegant,
I think Freddie Mercury could be rolling in his grave going like, you fuckers have no idea what I could have done
probably,
otherwise. But it doesn't matter. Like the stars aligned perfectly for this song.
I'm not going to pretend to know what the magic sauce was that made this happen, but we can only speculate and appreciate that it did.
Like, I'm happy it happened.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Well,
commercial
I guess it's time for...
Because the plus side is we're still going to be able to elaborate a little bit further on the other side. You know, once we dive into our choices, Colton, I believe it's your song selection because I gave up my song selection for Max.
Oh, thank you.
What does this face look like to you?
It looks like a very prepared face.
Does this look like someone who just remembered, oh my God, we still do that. We're at the end of every episode we have.
I mean, I'll remind you that duality came in second place. So.
I know.
If you choose duality, Jesus.
I need to get to a calendar and I need to count down a Halloween. I want to make sure I know what the Halloween
is. I was going
is.
To bring that up to her. It's like, we're getting close to your favorite episode. So, All right.
DJ Brood is happy to bring you a proper session of music listening at the beginning of every week on Twitch. With rotating themes showcasing new music, hits of the past, and specific genres, there is most definitely something for everyone to enjoy. Tune in every Monday from 5 to 8 p.m. Pacific Time as he broadcasts nothing but musical goodness live from the comfort of his home to the comfort of yours. Bedroom Radio, where there are no Monday blues, just Monday vibes. What happens when you get a bunch of obsessive music lovers sitting around a table and talking about every aspect in music? You get the Untitled Mixtape. Join Dango, Lewis, and Lorenzo in this educational but enjoyable podcast that encourages everyone to branch out and expand what they listen to. From deep dives to letting you know what is a bop or flop, the Untitled Mixtape boys are sure to take care of your music needs every Wednesday on your favorite podcast platform. The Untitled Mixtape, a Bassblown Entertainment podcast.
All right, I think I know what it is then, Max.
Okay, cool. I'm glad
Max talked me through this.
I can see that. All right.
We got it, buddy.
We got him. He's going down. We got him.
Going down. We talked that. We were like way too light. We got to really come in hard, segment three.
Welcome to that segment, everybody.
Welcome back.
This is where Rob ends off having some form of anxiety shortly afterwards.
So clearly Rob was wrong. The second act is the best act.
I actually made a list of all the things Rob said I thought was stupid. Number one, hi, my name's Rob. Ugh. Okay.
Come on, fellas.
Come on, guys.
Come on.
I'm just a poor boy.
I know this song is about me, clearly.
Oh my God.
I got a whole bunch of fucking Beelzebubs and
this whole song is about that System of a Down episode. That's all it is. Okay. Oh, well, we are going to, and what I think was a great idea that Rob had.
I thought that was your idea. Oh yeah.
To rate this out of 100 every single song.
Why not?
Why not, buddy? I know I keep asking this because we've covered two songs that are like up there in the pantheon, right at the top, right? Let It Be and like Rolling Stone. And they both had 85. Rob, you've upped yours. You have My Girl at 90.
I do.
Which I still respect. And I respect you as a person.
It's a time frame based deal. It's like, it does feel like it's timeless, but based off of what it did, yes, I gave it a much more important song than the other two 85s.
I think I have my number, but Max, your pressure is way less because you can just step in and be like, y'all are stupid. Do whatever you want.
I have my number and I've had it since before this episode was even a conversation.
Fantastic.
What about before the podcast?
No, I didn't know numbers before the podcast.
Okay, so the podcast has introduced you to numbers.
I want to suggest something.
It introduced me to numbers. I was like,
only
10.
To 100, though. That's all we got.
Yeah,
after
that, that's all I know.
Max,
you're on your
you
own.
Believe we keep going after 100.
It's 1,000 next.
Oh, buddy.
This is why we don't give 110%.
That's right. So I think we should 3-2-1 our numbers out of 100.
Whoa. There's
Do you
no
know how to count backwards?
Be the same.
Maybe Max and I will be the same. I actually wouldn't be
you
surprised.
You think so? I don't think so.
Mine's a rounded off number.
Mine's not.
Okay. You have like an elaborate like 94.2 or
no,
something?
No, it's not a point anything, but it doesn't end in a 5 or a 0.
Okay, mine ends in a 5.
Okay.
Let's 3-2-1.
3-2-1. 84.
99.
Okay.
So, I didn't hear anyone else's
name. I heard both ears. So we got
ears. Should we go from lowest to highest?
Let's go 84, Colton. Why do
let's
we got
go
84?
This is me kind of like staking my identity in songwriting. Like what I like I identify with, and kind of recognizing for myself, like, I am not going to sit here and tell you.
Not enough acoustic guitars in this.
Not enough rambling. Where's the harmonica? Where's the the jingle jangle?
Come on, man.
Where's Bob Dylan?
I'm always, and I think it's, I'm like not trying to like purposely do this to this podcast. I just know what comes naturally to me and what I identify, what resonates with me is a good way to put it. And I think that this song is brilliantly written. And I've identified in my own headcanon, everything to me that's over 80 is like classic. Like,
I can see that. Yeah.
Kind of like,
yeah, kind of it's in there. And I don't even have been on record that like a Rolling Stone is not my like Bob Dylan. Oh my God, whatever. Mm. But
it's better than Bohemian.
I think that the way lyrically,
the way
it works, I'll always just resonate with that more. Like, I think this is the best version of what we talked about, Rob, with songs that like the song part of songwriting, like excel. Like, to me, that's what the song is. And like the lyrics are really powerful. I think it's like, how I put it. I think to me, the lyrics feel less like lyrics and more like operatics. I don't know. It's weird to say. It almost doesn't feel like the same kind of music that I should be talking about. Yeah. He kind of like trounces a lot of like songwriting 101 that I'm familiar with lyric writing in a way that's cool. And the songwriting is cool. But I always like to make a song that is based in the same chord progression and to make it work way where I can listen to like 6-7 minutes of it and every lyric and every word I'm captivated. I'm always going to put that just a hair higher because that tradition to me is like what I think of this song. And it's very different, right? There's the kind of European classical version of songwriting that like the Beatles belong to and that Queen belongs to. And then there's a folk tradition that is very different that I always like. The Beatles aren't folk. I saw your head.
That's for, just saying, saying when you said Queen and Beatles like fit into, I'm like, they feel
they're
like
coming
they're
coming from a similar
they
thing.
They feel though. Like that. I guess so. But I mean, like, I feel like there's a difference doing. But OK. I do respect with what you're saying. Yes. I don't think the Beatles are folk, even though they do have some songs that are kind of folk-esque.
Tried.
Typical Beatles.
Bug off, brother.
Oh, the Beatles aren't that, but they definitely have done every single genre ever, by the way. So it's
not big.
They influenced all
of them.
They
did it first,
sure.
And they did it better.
They influenced Beethoven. They influenced
Beethoven, overrated. Beethoven's a hard 82 to me. Like,
right.
He couldn't even hear.
Yeah, no, maybe if you can hear 82.5, I don't know. Like,
he's no Mozart. Jeez.
All right, Rob, you were next.
Yes, I was at a 95. This is, out of all our song spotlights, this is my favorite song out of them.
Yeah.
This song is, to me, perfect. It not only is it, like, timeless, it's literally charted as if it's timeless. Like, oh, now all of a sudden the world is obsessed again with this song. Everything went right, and this song went perfect. And listening to other bands try to emulate it, and just not even come fucking close. It's just like, it needs to be these guys. And I think that's what makes it so magical to me. It's just like, they got all the right people in all the right spots. And it just feels so good. And come on, that's the best part of the entire fucking song. It's so much fun, but I mean,
arguable,
and that's,
but I see it. Yeah.
Well, and it's a song that can make you feel some feelings, and also just like smile. Like, I love that this song can take you from like all throughout all the emotions that you can feel. This song's got it. And most of the time, I've said this before, I don't like ambition that much. Most of the time, I'm like, hey, slow
Listen,
it down.
Please.
Yeah, like, it's like, let's try not to get out of ourselves. But like, this is a song to where it's ambitious and it pulls it off. And it makes me happy. And so, like, yeah, it's a better song. I think we can all agree on this. It's better than My Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
There we go.
That's easy.
Wow. You found common ground, my man. Baby guy. America is healing. We're all healing. This is exactly what we needed right now.
All right, Max, I heard yours. This is about as high a rating you can get on NBA 2K or Madden or any of those, a 99. Mm-hmm.
This is a 99 for me. I mean, for pretty much every reason that you gave, Rob. If I was going to go with a multiplicative of 5, 95 would have been it. But I just, for me, I'm like, this to me is the closest you can get to flying to the sun without burning your wings off. Yeah, and that's a 99, right?
The wax
that's a good
hole.
Way of putting it. Yeah. Wax the anti-wing.
Yeah. That's a My Friend Sam reference.
But no, man, they managed to do it. They flew up there and they're a little bit melted maybe, but like it held strong. And I don't know. It's just, it's timeless. It's classic. It's every, who doesn't like the song? Like even people that don't listen to rock at all, you put this on and they're having fun with it. They're enjoying it. And the fact that they were able to pull it off is the most, the craziest thing to me, because anyone else trying to do something like this and have this staying power and this impact, it hasn't happened. It hasn't happened.
That is interesting to me, though, because, Max, would you say this is your favorite Queen song? Because this is my favorite Queen song. So there's something that goes above the number 100 for you?
No. I'm grading this not out of what my favorite Queen song is.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm grading it as, like, in the realm of musical writing, where do I place it?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not only for... Oh, did they do a cool thing? But like the impact that it had and all those things that to me, I think are influenced that score, in my opinion, because you can have a song that you think has been written immaculately and it checks all the boxes. But if no one else agrees with you, then what are we talking about?
Really should put together like a checklist, or like we have to grade based off of these things.
Nah, sounds like a nightmare.
It's more fun to
easy answer to like my favorite Queen song. It's actually tied. Hammer to Fall.
Okay.
And Days of Our Lives. Hammer to Fall is great. That is, and it's funny because I was going back to why I chose like 84. I think the thing about the Bohemian Rhapsody that's like, it's like watching a Christopher Nolan film where the ambition and the technical prowess of it and like everything about it is so like admirable. I'm like, but I'll always love like movies that are slightly smaller in scale and more intimate in different ways sometimes appeal to me more. And there's Queen that's a little more intimate and like a little smaller in scale that I make Love of My Life. Like that song works in a way that's insane to me because it should not work. Like Love of My Life is one of those like absolutely cornball, like this weepy ballad, but God, like it's all Mercury there. Like it's all his ability to like emote.
It's all Mercury in all of them. I'm pretty like,
it's all Mercury. He is the secret sauce. I have to say, I think he is.
There's no, like, Brian May is very close second, but Mercury just.
I would say Mercury definitely keeps the temperature.
It's, but I mean, I guess.
Yeah, come on, guys. Mercury.
I didn't get
there
it.
There we are. We have a fantastic stopping point. Wait, did anyone any other last thoughts on Queen before we get to my?
The only other thing I was going to say was the other reason I went 99 is because, like you said earlier, Colton, I don't have I'm just here this time around. Like, who cares what I like? You guys have your scores that you got to keep track of. I'm just fucking shooting from the hip over here. I'm just like, 99. It's fucking, it's a great song.
I want to say we got to keep track of. Maybe we should keep track of. Yeah, but
I mean, Miller keeps track.
It's nice that you think we do. I literally just think of like, there's the Weezer line. That's
the Weezer line.
And there's the Beatle Dylan line.
The Weezer line I use when I do the regular episodes, but on this on this style, I'm like, what? I'm just gonna give it a 99. It's as close as you can get to a perfect song as I think you can get.
So, I'm with you.
Easy answer.
I did what I think
it's
is the
four
math,
points
Rob.
Off of the best it
Rob,
could be.
feel free to cut this off for me. You can cut this because I need to ask you calendar questions.
Okay.
My song spotlight will be on the 17th. I'm getting the song spotlight and the album, which is exciting. And I'm just realizing this now, Max, I get both of those. So I'm going to save the one we were talking about for actual Halloween.
That's a good point.
So I have
you
my
can,
song
you can
spotlight.
Have both.
That's
so
right.
So by the time the album, your album choice comes out, will that be before or after Halloween?
17th is going to be my song spotlight.
Song spotlight.
The 31st, that Friday, Halloween,
on
is
the day
is my album one.
Oh, sweet, sweet.
So
cool. That worked out for you.
We're all perfect. Sitting free. And then you get all of December.
You so, already know that. I was going to say, you're Halloween, I'm Christmas.
So we're back in. And or we've been here. I don't
wait,
know.
Wait, we're back in.
So
oh, yeah,
I do
okay,
have a song.
Yes. Welcome.
I do have a song for us. Max, I'm sorry, Max. I feel like I took you out of the game, but I needed help.
So Max knows.
Wait, you need my help again?
No. I think I already took you out from guessing it.
Yeah.
You
oh,
know
yeah.
My
that's
song
it's all, it's all
that's
on
fine.
Me now.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll hang back.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm so glad that you two are in cahoots on this.
I'm literally just going to like tone poem this by lyrics. And I have not included this in the second segment because everybody. Also, just for the record, ooh, everyone feel a shiver? Ooh. Oh, it's getting creepy in here. Is that a wolf howling? I was going to ask Rob to throw in a lot of stuff in the edit. Oh, did you? He just knocked on the door.
Okay. I'm like, is this a hint?
Oh,
I don't know if this is a hint. I'm going to like, what is Monster Mash?
No way.
Yes.
It is That's Monster it. Mash.
Yeah, I'm doing Monster Mash.
That was awesome.
Max is like, no way. We are doing Monster Mash.
All right. That'll be fun. I love that song. It was a graveyard smash.
It is a great. Yeah, I mean, don't give it all away, but yes, it is. It is a graveyard smash.
I can't wait to break down the freaking music theory on this one.
Here's the thing, everybody. Here's the thing. Ask me because of my dress. Who wrote Monster Mash? Let me look it up.
Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs?
The B-52s.
Yeah.
Wait.
Both of those are incorrect, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
The actual singer is Bobby Boris Pickett.
Okay.
But the actual writer, good Lord, it is hard to find the writer of this song. Songwriter, Bobby Pickett and Lenny Capizzi.
I love Capizzi. He's
Lenny
got some
Capizzi.
Good stuff.
There
Capizzi's
we go.
Got some really good stuff. I believe he did a lot of stuff for Scooby-Doo.
Well, there you go, everybody. We are talking out Monster Mash. Happy Halloween.
That'll be fun.
Or yes. I'm sorry, I don't. I actually don't know how we're going to do this. Right,
this is going to be very intriguing. Well, I think there's an aspect we can talk from, or an angle we can approach it from.
Got it.
A goofy fucking songs. What were your hints going to be? By the way, I kind of feel bad.
I had nothing. I had nothing. I was vamping. I was hoping that somehow the connection would cut out. Or I would have a heart attack and die. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I wanted to be removed from my own body, and you saved me. So I
turns out all you had to say is there's a shiver in here.
I just want to know, like, out of 100, where this is going to fall, because I know Duality, 53, everybody. That's a hard 53.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
You
I
already have a score. You don't even need to do the episode.
Why are we doing? No, I really don't know.
Well, Max, I assume you were going to give it a 98?
No. I don't know, but it wouldn't have been in the 90s.
Yeah, I don't think. Mine probably would have been somewhere in the 70s.
70s, 80s, maybe.
So there you go, guys.
I would have to. I'd have to listen to it.
Two song spotlights in one.
I guess right what we all learned is that the real Bohemian Rhapsodies were
the friends you
the
made
ones.
Along the way.
That's right. And everybody, that's lovely. And also, I am nipping at your heels, buddy. 96.
It's bad. It's bad. No, it's the worst that the odds were. More than likely, everybody, I have lost my first official matchup in fantasy football.
This is like when Lamar Ball got into the NBA, and who was it who just like tore him up and down the court? A welcome to the league moment.
Well, you're thinking Lonzo Ball.
Oh, Lonzo Ball. Yeah.
Lamar is a dad. LeVar is the dead. Holy shit. All right.
This
have a good
bad.
One, everybody.
Everybody. All right, everyone.
Thank you, Max. Thank you.
Thank you.
Max, thank you. That was Max looking at both of us like, are we, what's happening?
Again?
Am LeVar, I having a stroke?
Lavarius LeVar and Javarius Javar. Yeah.
Javar was there. Iago was also
Iago.
There.